fighting for America.
Washington, D.C. has never been more divided, more dysfunctional, or less productive than it's been in the last 6 years under President Barack Obama.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's currently an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
Fighting for you.
He didn't want handouts. He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. Ryan Jobe was just grateful and gracious, just an exceptional human being. I think we should all try to emulate Ryan's faith and hard work. He's just a great guy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Our great friend Greg Pruitt with us here at 580 KIDO from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You know, I don't know if you caught me. I was opining about your greatness in the first hour, about how proud I am of you and your continued work. And you do these things not chasing headlines, not chasing radio shows. You do it because you passionately believe in the Second Amendment. You do it at a cost to yourself. I mean, you're out there working hard on this. So good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. And, yeah, I kind of figured I didn't even need to come in after your little 20-minute garage there.
But
so.
But it's true. And as someone who is a family man, who loves the Rockets, who has a master's degree, yes, I stalk you a lot, you've dedicated your life to the Second Amendment in what some have said is the most conservative state in the United States. Why care so much about the guns? And is there a need to have these Second Amendment strengthening laws?
Absolutely. We live in a very blessed country, and my belief has always been that the Second Amendment is both the first line of defense against tyranny, and it's also the last line of defense against tyranny. And when we started our group, I wanted a group that could focus on Idaho, that was for Idaho citizens, that was by Idaho citizens. All the money we raised stayed here in the state of Idaho. I didn't want some lackey in Washington, D.C. telling me what I could and could not do in the state of Idaho. And so that's why we started our group. And we wanted to be able to go all the way down to city level, county level, school board level, and keep an eye on these guys and make sure that we don't turn into Colorado, we don't turn into Washington. And that's, you know, really why we started this group, because I really passionately believe that we need to strengthen our laws now before our state starts flipping towards the blue and then we start losing some of our rights.
In your own words, tell us how you started and what you've learned.
Well, when I started the group, I thought, okay, you know, we're in Idaho. We're in one of the most gun-friendly states in the country. Our gun laws are pretty dang good here already. And, you know, some of the things I wanted to get accomplished, I figured it would be no breeze at all. Constitutional carry, I had seen it being passed in other states, and I was frustrated that it wasn't passing here in Idaho.
And you just figured you'd get a bunch of signatures, right, in the cold.
Yeah, we'll go out, get a bunch of signatures, put the bill forward, and we'll all have a big happy party at the end of the day.
Right.
Didn't really work out that way.
So for folks that aren't familiar with your story here at 580 KIDO, you and your friends went outside of Boise Gun Company back when it was cold in the winter here in Idaho. You got over 3,000 signatures. You figured you would present this to the crime-fighting, tax-paying, constitutional-protecting legislature and be no problem. What happened?
We got about just over 3,000 signatures between me and just a couple friends.
Right.
We took those signatures and we said, look, here are over 3,000 people that just me and a few friends got. So we know there are many, many, many more Idahoans that want to see this. And they kind of just looked at us and said, okay, well, that's really, you know, 3,000 is really not that big of a deal. And I told them, I said, I don't know anyone else that has 3,000 signatures to support a piece of legislation. And they said, well, you know, we're going to have to do this next year. We need to do it next year. We got to lay more groundwork. And that's pretty much what I've been told every year since 2012.
Well, and I can remember, along with Idaho Steve Ackerman, Tea Party Bob, you being in the community, if you will, that one year we had so many pro-gun bills that it had to be siphoned through a caucus in that. And then we had campus carry, then we had everything else. And people have said to you, well, you need to work through the process. What does that mean to you, work through the process?
Work through the process to me means we have a piece of legislation that we believe the Idaho citizens want to see, that they want heard in a hearing. We take that bill, we submit it into the legislative services, they draft it for us, and we go through a print hearing. We get sponsors, we get co-sponsors. That's the process we're trying to use this year. And apparently that was not what this gun caucus, who apparently has authority over all gun bills, said that we can do. I was told in no uncertain terms that, hey, if you know, you've got to run all these bills through our gun caucus. That's the way we do things down here to make sure that the bill is going to pass. And without following that process, your bills aren't going to go anywhere. And I said, that's not the way that, you know, that might be some ad hoc process that was created down at the Capitol, but that's not the process. I'm going through what the process is.
Well, you know, and again, if you have a question concerning constitutional carry, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, what do you want? And by the way, we'll get back to that question, but whenever we have phone calls, especially from our friend Garrett, we haven't heard from a while. Let's go to the phones. Garrett in Sand Hollow, it's been a while. Good morning.
Yeah, it's been a while. Good morning, fellas. You know, switching up jobs, but that's all right. Good deal. And I just wanted to offer my encouragement on this Second Amendment deal. This is Idaho, and so and in my phone transition, I don't know if were you guys talking about the have you guys mentioned the hearing that the same-sex marriage thing got versus a constitutional carry? Did you bring that point up yet?
No, that we haven't talked about that yet, but yeah. A lot of people have been mentioning that and saying, hey, how is it that Add the Words got three full days of hearing, and yet a gun bill on constitutional carry, something we know tens of thousands of Idahoans want to see happen in Idaho, does not get a full hearing?
Yes, exactly. That was my first thought when I heard that it got shot down before even a hearing, and especially I'm going to applaud you for actually going through the process, and maybe you'd have more success if you would go and just disrupt things, especially open carry, because then we'd get a lot of national press, and, you know, then you might have more success instead of going through things the way that our founders intended. It's just a thought that I think it reflects on your character and fortitude and really the lack of the same thing from our legislators, as far as I'm concerned anyways. This is an issue that is that actually matters to the majority of Idahoans, and the others did not when they were given a hearing just to placate them, whereas this one is something that's at least you're attempting to shore up a constitutional right. Whether or not they agree with that's the actual intent. And for you to not get a hearing, at least a hearing, I think is bordering on shameful. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. And, you know, our call to action, we're not going to go, we're not going to surround the Capitol, and we're not going to keep people from going to work. That's not the style of game that we play. Our call to action is email Chairman Lurcher, email Speaker Begke, give them a phone call, and let them know that you're not happy with their decision to hold on to this bill right now.
Yeah, I will. And so, I don't know. You're doing things the right way, and you're not being rewarded for it. So, I don't know. It's hard in the face of that kind of opposition, but stick with it.
Thank you.
Yep. Garrett, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening.
Yep, see you, Kevin. Bye.
Bye-bye. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So back to this issue when we're talking about constitutional carry. You've made the point to me when you're talking about the safety of your family. You've done that on the air. Why constitutional carry? Can you talk about why you believe we need this here and it is constitutional and the difference between that and what we've had in previous legislation?
Sure. The Constitution, especially the Second Amendment, said that you have the right to keep and bear arms. And for some reason, some people take that as you can open carry, but you can't conceal carry. Well, when you're bearing arms, you get to decide how you bear your arms. It could be concealed or it could be open. It's entirely up to you. And my point to the legislators when we did the print hearing was that nobody, the legislators, law enforcement, a firearms instructor, myself or you or anybody else, has a right to tell you when you are qualified to defend your life. And that's exactly what we do. The government comes out and says you're going to pay taxes in the form of fees for the permit, and you're going to go through all these things that we want you to go through, and then you can go ahead and defend your life in the public. If that's not a blatant violation of the Constitution and shall not be infringed, I don't know what is.
By the way, Greg, what is your email? Cindy wants to know your email.
My email is info@idahosaa.org.
info@idahosaa.org. All right, Cindy, I hope that answers your question there. We go to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot. with Greg Pruitt and Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Morning, Bob.
I've got a question. I understand that there is a caucus down there that they put the gun issues through, and this seems to be what is backing up a lot of the gun rights bills that we try to put through. I had it with the enhanced carry last year where the NRA got involved in it and didn't quite come out the same way, the bill that we originally wanted. And I understand now that the NRA again is using Senator Hagedorn to influence the people down at the legislature to take his bill rather than yours, and his does not allow carry in the city limits. Could you just kind of touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so the gun caucus that everybody's starting to hear about, generally, from what I understand, is consisted of Representative Boyle, Senator Hagedorn, Senator Davis, and Speaker Behnke, and then they kind of work with the NRA to figure out what kind of bill they can put together to make it pass through the Idaho legislature. And if you don't go through that caucus, according to Speaker Behnke, then your bill goes nowhere. Now, some of the other caucus members, such as Senator Hagedorn, has said that is not the intention of that caucus, but that is what I was told in no uncertain terms. So, you know, the NRA hasn't come out and supported our bill. That's the bottom line. They're working on this other bill.
Now, wait a minute. The NRA doesn't support your bill, House Bill 89?
They have not come out and supported it.
Have you asked them to?
I was told several weeks ago that we would probably get their backing, but that has not happened
yet. So for people listening right now at 580KIDO, the National Rifle Association has not endorsed House Bill 89. Any reason why?
Well, you'd have to ask them that, but right now the Gun Owners of America has endorsed our bill, and they are backing our bill.
Can I ask you one more question?
Oh, my gosh!
I'm still here. I know I didn't go away.
How come we didn't get him off?
Yeah, I know. You were trying to get rid of me. You have to be a lot quicker.
Story of my life.
I need to ask a question, Craig. I understand that the NRA is supporting Hagedorn's bill. I'd like to know why the NRA is interfering in our state gun rights and lobbying for things that we don't really want. What is the purpose of that, and why are they doing this?
Yeah, the last few years I've really had the same question to the legislators and to the NRA, actually, because we go out and we talk to Idaho citizens all over the state of Idaho, and we always ask them, what are the top two or three things that you would like to see done in regards to gun rights here in the state of Idaho? And for the last 3 years that we've done that, number one is always constitutional carry. Every single year, it's constitutional carry. And yet every bill that keeps coming forward is anything but that. And so we're sitting there going, well, why aren't we listening to the Idaho citizens? That's who we should be listening to. We should be focusing on what Idaho citizens want to accomplish, not what the politicians want to accomplish. But that's not how it's being done right now.
Well, you keep heading down the road you are, because you're going to get a lot of support for this. We don't like people interfering with what's going on in this state, and certainly the legislature appears to be backstabbing you and backstabbing the people of Idaho by changing this bill and not getting it through the way it was intended.
Well, ever objective you are.
Well, listen, you know, I try to be every once in a while.
I'm with you, and by the way, here's a cold shower for you.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Bob.
I love it.
Oh! All right, Tea Party Bob, we appreciate it. 7:18, more coming up here. But before we continue on, you were talking to me one day that, you know, sometimes when a husband's traveling out of town, want to make sure that their wife is safe. And currently, if they have a weapon in the house, the other spouse that's not on this enhanced concealed carry can't carry the weapon. They can't protect themselves.
That's right. They don't have the permission to go out and defend themselves, and that's an absolute blatant violation of the Second Amendment. If you can't take your firearm and take it with you to protect yourself how you see fit, then your rights are being violated.
More coming up, more phone calls next with Greg Pruitt, 580-5436. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safely.
If this passes, you do not have to have any type of training on the use of the firearm at all. Is that correct?
Well,
who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Idaho's first radio station.
7:25, Kevin Miller in the morning. Greg Pruitt with us from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Talking about House Bill 89. Now, it's stuck in committee. Any way it's going to get out, or do you think that the clock will be run out on it?
We're not sure at this point. We're going to keep up the pressure. We want all citizens to keep that pressure on to try and get it out of committee. We'll go all the way until the last day if we have to. But we're hopeful that we can get it out of committee and that it will finally have a full hearing. But we have to have the Idaho citizens involved. If you guys aren't involved and calling and emailing your own legislators, and then these two individuals specifically, they're not going to care. They need to know how upset you guys are that this is being held. Now, we can be courteous and we can be respectful, but they also need to know that you're upset that this bill is not getting a hearing.
You know, two things. You're going to have your march again this year, and we'll tell people about that in a minute. I remember people being scared of you folks last year because you were open carrying and people were going, what are they going to do? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. We had about two dozen of us that went down. We met with legislators and we all had sidearms on and we open carried, and it really was actually a very respectful, and we had a lot of good conversations with legislators. There was a few people that apparently decided to make everybody freak out and got the media involved, and the media, you know, made it much worse than it really was.
We go to, it's been a while. Happy Walt with us at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Actually, I don't really care because I've already heard you talking, so you must be good. Your guest. I read an article the other day on the Internet about the Obama government wants to outlaw 223 rounds, certain ones. Have you heard any more about it, or is there anything going on, or what?
I don't know any more about it than what everybody has seen here in the last few days. It does look like they're trying to figure out some backdoor way to be able to ban that type of ammunition, more specifically the green tip ammunition. But as far as what we've heard on the defense side of what other gun groups are doing to try and block that type of action by the Obama administration, we haven't heard anything more.
No, actually, I was kind of wondering. I thought it was kind of a stupid idea because giving me 30 days and I can start cranking that stuff out, you know, 100 rounds a day or 100,000 rounds a month, whatever, those bullets, because making bullets is not really that hard.
Sure.
You have a decent machine shop.
Thank you for sharing the helpful tips on how to make bullets.
No, I haven't told you how to make them.
Oh.
All I've said is it can be done.
All right.
Need a machine shop, and that's the end of it.
Okay.
One other thing. I realize he's not here for it, but I don't...
Hey, what is this, gun talk or what, Walt? Gun talk you can catch Sunday nights on 580KIDO. I'm just giving you a hard time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. all these people that want to legalize casino gambling in Idaho, they do not know what they're asking for. I've lived in Nevada for 20-some years. I've had a home there. I've had a home while I was traveling. And they don't know what they're getting into when they start talking casino gambling. I was there when the mafia was running the state. And don't say they didn't, because they did. And you're going to have problems like you can't believe, ones you don't have now and probably won't have. But casino gambling is not going to solve anything for anybody. So anyway, have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Walt, to Jason and Emmett at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Just wanted to thank Greg for all of his efforts for standing up for our inherent rights, and let him know that I will be there this Saturday with as many people as I can bring.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate all the work you're doing, too.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, Jason, we appreciate that. Anything else? Apparently not. All right, finally, let's get down to it. We're going to have Senator Hagedorn on, I believe, tomorrow. Anything that you'd like to say to him over the air?
No, I'd encourage him to also ask Speaker Behnke, even though he's a senator, and encourage Speaker Behnke to make this bill go forward. Let it have a hearing at least, so that the Idaho citizens can debate this bill in a full hearing.
And how do you think this is going to play out in the next couple weeks?
We'll see. Obviously, we'll have to see how the other gun bill that Senator Hagedorn is introducing on the Senate side, I believe Friday, in the Senate, we'll have to see how that goes and how the two bills flow. But I'm trying to get a hold of the chairman now, and his excuse was, I need to compare both bills. Well, he's had a chance to compare them now, and so knowing that they're not competing bills, we want to see our bill go forward.
Well, we appreciate it. Keep up the great work. If people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
They can go to idahosaa.org. There's also a link to our Facebook page on there, and they can come out and support us and do what they can to be a part of this process.
Greg, as always, we appreciate it. I know you're going down there. Have a good time.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you.
All right. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
House Republicans passed legislation that will defund the Homeland Security Department unless the president's immigration policies are rolled back.
He violated the Constitution and violated federal law.
The president says his executive actions on immigration are legal and will prevail.
I'm confident that it is well within my authority.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And coming up, we'll take a look at the president's take on the federal judge giving him the smackdown. And the idea of Return to Center Plus, we'll hear from Channel 7. They've got Idahoans reacting to the illegal still being illegal. It's interesting that, you know, you listen to the news stories and such, and people are going to, well, we're going to have a meeting and to find out what your rights are. And really, it comes down to this. Does being an American citizen matter? Now, I know today we want to live in our affluent or less affluent suburbs. We want to go to work. We want to have the kids in soccer, the communist / socialist sport. We want to have a nice dinner. We want to live our great lives. But when you look at the statistics of people coming in from other countries, taking jobs that used to go to Americans, not even talking about the nationality, not only talking about how insulting it is to be anywhere and people speaking a language not that of America, it comes down to, does it matter? Because if the president's program goes through, these folks are instant voters. Can't put the genie back in the bottle. More on that in a minute. Joining us now, Simon Owen, with the very latest concerning ISIS and the Egyptians and just all heck breaking loose. Simon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin. Morning.
You take a look at this ISIS threat. A lot of people believe that Europe could be the next target. Before we get to that, what's the latest concerning the Egyptian reaction to the ISIS threat and the ISIS killings?
Well, at the weekend, a video emerged, an ISIS film showing the murders of 21 Egyptians who were taken, and we think because they were Christians, and were killed, we think, in neighboring Libya, which is a problem for Egypt because it's next door and it's already been concerned about militants on the rise there. But I think it's shone a light on a couple of things. Firstly, how ISIS's reach now stretches much further than just Iraq or Syria. Libya is thousands of miles away. But also what a state Libya has got into in the 4 years since the NATO operation that saw the overthrowing of the former leader, Colonel Gaddafi, and that's Egypt's big concern. It says that that operation is an unfinished mission and that the UN should put together an international coalition to intervene militarily again. That will be discussed at the UN later today. So I suspect it's unlikely they'll get a coalition together anytime soon or anything like that. But Egypt's saying that's what is needed. It has launched airstrikes, which is quite a big move, just going into another country and bombing ISIS targets. But it's not clear if Egypt is going to continue doing that, or maybe that was just a one-off to try and placate a very angry public who perhaps feel the Egyptian government is not doing enough to tackle extremists who are just across the border.
Well, and the idea, whether it's the Jordanians, the Egyptians, or possibly some type of coalition of troops on the ground, that's always a very touchy subject.
Well, I mean, it's also, you know, Libya's a big place, and the sort of authority there has just fallen to pieces, and there's a complete power vacuum. There's two parliaments both claiming legitimacy. The original one has been chased out of the capital, Tripoli, and is now way in the east of the country. And so it's hard to get anything together there. And the idea that Egypt would do it on its own, I think Egypt feels it's got its hands full already dealing with militants in its own Sinai Peninsula, if nothing else, and doesn't want to get into a prolonged conflict on its own. But it does say that the rest of the world needs to get some attention back on this. The country it's most likely to be get listened to to listen to this is Italy, Libya's former colonial leader. It's about 500 miles from the northern Libyan coast to the southern Italian islands. And so if a group like ISIS or another militant group was able to get a strong foothold in Libya, well, that's a concern for the Italians. And when Egypt first made noise about, you know, we've got to tackle them militarily, Italy appeared fairly keen on the idea, although in the days since then it has sort of calmed down a bit and talked instead about a political solution and that sort of thing.
Of course, that's kind of tough when you don't know who the leaders of ISIS are, and not only that, but, you know, they're attacks continue and they keep spreading back to Europe and such. How concerned are they about the ISIS threat there?
Well, yeah, I mean, they have grave concerns and with good reason, because we've already seen, you know, one attack in Paris earlier this year which seemed to possibly have an ISIS link to it, and then there's been a foiled plot in Belgium, and then there was an attack in Copenhagen, Denmark, although the motives of that one's still not clear at the minute. But it is the number one headache, I would have thought, for most European governments, is how they deal with these fighters. You know, they don't all do this, but many hundreds, if not thousands, of Europeans have traveled to Iraq and Syria to link up with groups like ISIS. And then when they come back, what do you do with them? You've got some countries like Britain and France talking about, you know, stripping passports if they can and locking people up and that sort of thing. Britain and France have both been hit by Islamist attacks in the last couple of years, though. And then at the other end of the scale, you've got Denmark, which looks at de-radicalization programs and taking a much softer approach. And again, Denmark hit this weekend, although should stress that there's no indication that this guy in Denmark had traveled to Iraq or Syria. But European countries are struggling to come up with a unified response, or at least one that they can agree on. This is a new problem for them. And it takes time to see if de-radicalization programs work, if locking people up in prison for this sort of thing works. And right now, there's no clear indication that anybody's found a solution that is particularly successful.
Simon, we appreciate it. You have a good day, sir.
Thanks, Kevin. You too.
Our great friend Simon Owen, Fox News Radio in London. We exclusively bring you Simon each and every morning. Our commitment to giving you as much news, information, and opinion as possible. You know, tomorrow we're going to have local NASCAR driver on the Xfinity series. Used to be the Sprint, used to be the Winston. Personally, for me, I think NASCAR lost something when they got rid of the Winston Cup, the Nextel Cup, the Sprint Cup. But anyway, we're going to talk to Brian Scott. Awesome to see somebody from Idaho doing very well. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And by the way, NASCAR, you can hear it on the radio, and I love doing it when I'm working around the house, mowing the lawn. I love listening to it on the radio, and our sister station, 630 The Fan, is carrying NASCAR. And if you're a fan of NASCAR, you know there's one of the most famous drivers, and if Greg Pruitt's listening, he knows where I'm going here. On my Facebook page, I've got a video from the Fox guys, and you've got the NASCAR driver, Jimmy Johnson, and then you've got the former NFL football coach, now analyst, Jimmy Johnson, and they had a little fun with it. Let's take a listen.
Thanks for joining us as we bring in the best pregame cast in the business. Terry, Al, Michael, and Jimmy. And Jimmy, let's talk about a big game going on in the AFC West today. Denver and Kansas City, that game tonight.
All right, there's been some sort of mix-up here. I'm Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver, not Jimmy Johnson, the coach.
But tell us what you think will happen moving forward, starting in the NFC.
Can you guys get this right? It's IE, not Y.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, we don't talk about it anymore.
I have no idea what the hell is going on right now.
Don't be saying hell on television. We got a lot of young people out there.
This is just getting uncomfortable. Terry, you need to stop looking at me like that.
Why don't we bring back our NFL insider, Jay Glazer?
This is what he's saying about everybody on our team tonight. He has no respect for anybody.
Jimmy, tell us what you think.
Who put this shit on my head? I'm out of here.
By the way, and you can catch that on my Kevin Miller site. It's really good. And remember, you can always watch NASCAR on the radio. Watch, listen to it. To me, they just do such a great job on our sister station, 630 The Fan. And Brian Scott joining us tomorrow. And people are going to say, well, Kevin, you know, what is this? We're a show about empowerment and solutions, so it'll be cool. And like I said, I'm still trying to think of the intro as far as, you know, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Why would you drive a massive car over 200 miles an hour with those banked tracks and all? So we'll be talking to him. You want to catch that in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour this morning, we're going to take a look at your reaction to the president's plug being pulled on legalizing the illegals. Does that matter to you in Idaho? Channel 7 did a great story. We'll share that with you, then get your reaction. Plus, the latest concerning your school and whether or not the internet will be shut off because somebody didn't pay the bills. 7:48. Thank you for starting your day with us. We appreciate it. Kevin Miller with you. Let's get you to work.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, early in the morning, 7:54. Thank you for starting your day with us. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO coming up. We're going to get your reaction to the president's immigration bill being declared unconstitutional. We'll be seeing you. And by the way, this judge already being attacked by folks. The other question of the day, how conservative do you believe the state is? How competent are we? You know, we have the folks in from all over the state, from, you know, the north, the east. They come in, they shop, they listen to this great radio show. They have a good time, then they go home, and I get it. You know, this is the state capital. There should be some competency here. How competent are we? And I just want to go over a couple questions. We've got the broadband deal, which we'll get to in a second. We've got the roads are crumbling, according to the Associated Press, so we've got to stick it to you with taxes. We have, did I leave something out? We've got the investigation of the prisons, and isn't that like the FBI coming in and such? And have I left anything? The sales tax might be going up. So how fiscally conservative and fiscally responsible do you believe we are here in Idaho? Terry, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm a great fan and haven't heard from your mother in a while.
We could give you the snow report. She and my dad are busy shoveling a lot.
Yeah, I guess they are. With these contrails, I tell you, yesterday and the day before, you seen the skies were really blue, and then it looked like some kids were playing tic-tac-toe in the sky.
Well, it's all part of the government control.
Yeah, it's dumbing down that barium and aluminum and everything that's in the the air is playing a lot on people that got respiratory, but I don't know how effective it is what they've proven on the materials that are in it.
Respiratory, mind control, it's all the same.
Yeah. But the people won't be mobile. Kind of cost. I drive a 350 diesel power stroke, and I get better gas mileage than I do with the Subaru cars that we have and everything. But boy, between the food tax and the gas going up and the prices are constantly going up at the grocery stores.
Heck yeah.
And we don't have the economy. The jobs that are paying is not in keeping in pace even with the food.
So your take on raising the taxes?
No.
I'm going to give you a chance, Terry, to lay the smack down. What do you want to say to any lawmakers who are tuned into you right now?
Well, I'd say that besides looking at their income increase at the end of the year that they always voted in, so they can keep up with it, it's not parallel or equal to the income status when you got people, the average income, the jobs in this valley are under $25 an hour for these kids that are trying to get jobs, and they're the first to let go because they're in school. it's making it terrible. Then it's almost criminal what it costs to get into universities, getting to the point that only the affluent are being able to put their kids in and then carry these student loans for so long. And, you know, the baby boomers are taking care of their parents, taking care of their children. They're trying to better their lives because education is power. I commend you on your fight. Sometimes I wonder if you're not targeted with...
Well, it hasn't been the past. Terry, I got to run, but thank you, brother.
Okay. Oh, could you answer me one thing? I need
okay.
to get a hold.
Hang on. Good morning, Dave. Kevin Miller in the morning coming up next. Does the immigration debate impact us here in Idaho? I'll explain. Plus Fox News. Stay tuned. 580 KIDO. KIDO Napa.